Good afternoon, brethren. Anybody awake? All right. Well, if you're asleep, then we've got it recorded. So here's your nap. No, I'm kidding. But I hope you're all doing well. I hope you all had a good lunch. And we're looking forward to a good rest of our afternoon service and a good rest of our week. I know that Mary told me that she wasn't going to be able to make it this afternoon, so that's one other thing that I wanted to announce. And she said she had to take some food for her family. So that's why Mary Kaiser's not here this afternoon. But other than that, we're going to be in Psalm 142. So I would ask that you take out your Bibles and you turn to Psalm 142. We're going to continue our little lesson on our Psalms. We have been doing sort of a series, been going over some different psalms throughout the book of Psalm. Psalm 142. And as we go throughout this psalm, of course, you'll notice there in the very header of this psalm that it says, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Now, we don't know exactly what that is referring to, but we know that most likely it's referring to whenever David was in the cave hiding from who? King Saul. So likely this is when he was hiding from King Saul. This was, of course, back in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 3. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel quite a bit this afternoon. But I would go ahead and ask you that you put your marker here in Psalm 142 because we will be making our way here as well. We must always remember that regardless of how heavy the burdens in life are that we may have, or maybe if it's a great time of distress, God is still our great deliverer. He's still our great carer. He's still our great Father who cares for us no matter what happens in this life, no matter how much we may be persecuted. God is always there for us. Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So that was Hebrews 13:5-6. Now once again, the date here is during Saul's reign. So if you remember our dates from the Kings, 1041 to 1011 BC, it's sometime during that period. It could also be during Absalom's rebellion. If you know who Absalom is, he was one of David's sons. Of course, he rebelled against David, his father. And so it could be that whenever he's under persecution, or it could be any other time. As you go throughout Psalm 142, you'll notice it's a heavy psalm of really of distress, of crying, of weeping because of things like persecution. So even as you see there in your header in your different versions, a plea for relief from persecutors. So that's really what this psalm is about. So I thought it might be a neat psalm for us to go through as we look at the things of this world and as we look at the different, you know, the countless amount of sin that we have in our society and how those things might, you know, vex our soul or torment our soul daily and really make us, you know, wonder how we're going to make it in such a society. Well, David was living in such and even hunted by such a society. Of course, he survived, though, with the help of God. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 142, verses 1 through 2. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. So here we have the cry for help. The psalmist is writing about how he's giving all of his burdens to God. He's giving all his anxieties to God. Something that we as Christians forget to do very often, I believe. Of course, we have our most common verse as far as this goes in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your burdens or your anxieties on the Lord, for He cares for you. But if you had somebody chasing you like Saul was, if you had somebody chasing you like Absalom, his son was, I mean, this is family. These are close people that are trying to kill him. If you had that kind of people chasing you or after you trying to end your life, that would be very distressing. Very, very distressing. So that's no doubt why David made so many psalms regarding the same matter, regarding the persecutions he suffered. So, of course, who was the only one he could turn to in those times? Well, of course, it'd be God. God was the only one who was there, was listening in those times. He had some helpers, very few, but nonetheless, God was there most of all. 1 Samuel 24:3, I'd ask you to turn there with me. 1 Samuel 24, 3. We'll start in verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from falling the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take notes, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. Verse 3, so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were there, staying in the recesses of the cave. So continuing on, verse 4, then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went his way. So before we continue on, really try to put in perspective here how David is feeling. This is Saul. He previously worked for Saul. Saul previously even was with him with that David Goliath thing. Of course, he was the closest friend of Saul's son, Jonathan. So he was no doubt very close to Saul before this, before all this persecution happened. But imagine how he feels. He's got Saul right there and he can take his life right there. He can end it all. He can end the persecution and likely even take the throne. But what does he do? He holds back because it's really God's decision. Because God, he's giving everything to God. He thinks God knows what's best. How often do we do that in our lives? Do we just give all of it to God? You notice that's exactly what David did here. He restrained his hand because he said, "This is the Lord's anointed. Why would it not be God's decision? Why not give all of my burdens, all of my anxieties, and all everything in this matter to God?" And that's exactly what David did, even though it would bring much more crying. It would bring much more, maybe, persecution in the future after that. He knew that the first thing he should think of was God and God's care for him and putting him first and God's decision rather than his decision. Now, in this life, it's easy to take our decision over God's. It's easy to think that we know best, and it's easy to think that, well, if God would have just done it my way, everything would have been better. Who here said that? Who here has thought that? Well, all of us. All of us, no doubt. Nonetheless, though, we need to account that David knew better in this scenario. We should know better in the trying scenarios in our life. If you would turn with me to Psalm 55, so put another marker there, and Psalm 55 and verse 22. We're going to read some supportive verses throughout the Scriptures. Just some good, comforting verses. Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Now turn over to Matthew. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's continue reading some comforting verses now to Philippians. I'm sure you know where I'm going, but Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And brethren, what I'd encourage you to do as we're going through these texts is I'd encourage you to write these down and remind yourself of these whenever you have trying times, whenever you have times that nobody knows about. You're sitting in your room. Nobody knows that you're having a really hard trouble, but only you do. And only God's watching. God's waiting for you to pray to Him. Write these verses down. They're encouraging. They will help you during these times. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How often should we be making those prayers and supplications to God? every single chance that we can. Every single time, maybe a trying situation comes up in life. Psalm 37 and verse 5, the last one I'll ask you to turn to here of our comforting verses. Certainly there are many throughout the Scriptures, but the time doesn't permit me to go through all of them. Psalm 37 verse 5. It says there, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Of course, there are countless verses like this, but there are things also we need to consider. Just as David was practicing forgiveness, was practicing compassion towards Saul, no doubt his brother Saul, they were both Israelites. But just as he was practicing that, we should also practice that, Christians. Sometimes Christians, you know, other brethren might get on our nerves. Sometimes they might irritate us a lot. Sometimes we just can't get along with them for whatever reason. But nonetheless, we should practice that compassion that Jesus did. No matter if your personality clashes with somebody else, if you just can't get along with somebody, even if it's somebody from the world, practice showing that forgiveness, that compassion, even maybe whenever they don't deserve it. Love your enemies as Jesus told you to. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. It says there, and be kind to one another. Well, let's start in verse 31. Well, 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, be compassionate, be patient with one another, no matter the circumstances, no matter the hard times. Be understanding, be patient with your brethren. Be patient with the world around you. Have those behaviors of Christ. Other verses we could think about are 1 John 4, 20 through 21. There's many other Old Testament verses like Isaiah 12 and verse 2, talking about how the Lord is your salvation and to wait for Him. So we think we know what's best, but no, rather wait for the Lord. For He is your salvation. He will get you through this life. He knows what's best. Don't fear and forget God, but rather respect God in everything. 1 John 4, 17 through 19. Another good set of verses. Trust in God and in His judgments. That was 1 John 4, 17 through 19. So back to what we were talking about with David and Saul. This cry for help. Go back to 1 Samuel with me in chapter 24. We talked about how instead of taking that immediate action, that immediate, maybe rash action, David rather chose to wait and rather chose to be patient with God and trust in God and make Him his salvation rather than just immediately do what he wanted to do. And it's so easy to be like that in life. But David chose God first and God's opinion and God's will first. 1 Samuel 24, start in verse 8 with me. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet, you hunt my life to take it. Now, this is the very important part about David's words here. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. You notice what David just stated? Let the Lord judge between me and you. We have a lot of verses in the New Testament that talk about judging one another and judging our brethren. David here seems to cast all of that on God. Seems to cast all of those opinions and those judgments on God. And lets Him be the judge. As God certainly is the ultimate judge that will decide everything. Regardless of our opinions. regardless of what we think or feel, God is going to be the ultimate judge in the end and now. So David obviously acknowledging that and stating it very clearly. If you continue on with me to 1 Samuel 20, 1 Samuel 20, verses 41 through 42. 20, 41 through 42, we know that David was also in very, very trying times talking to Jonathan, his friend. That was Saul's son. That was 20, 41 through 42. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times, and they kissed one another. And they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So two people having to really meet in silence, to meet in the shades, to meet maybe in a place where nobody can see. Two brothers, really who, you know, best friends. Very, very trying times, very hard times, because Saul, Jonathan's father, is trying to kill David at this time. Nonetheless, they give all of their griefs and all of their troubles to each other as brethren and also to God. So that's something that we really need to practice more, brothers and sisters. One thing that you don't see much in this congregation, and I've really only seen one person come forward as I've been here, but one thing I don't see that much is us coming up and asking for prayers of encouragement. How many times have we done that? Before I became a preacher, I used to do that quite often. Not saying that I'm perfect. Many people used to do that in my former congregation. And I think that it would be very, very helpful to us. Very helpful. The invitation is not just for asking for repentance. It's not just for asking to maybe become a Christian. It's also for asking prayers of encouragement. Asking for help from your brethren. And certainly you could do that outside of the invitation and outside of worship times and services. But nonetheless, it's there for you. It's there for all of us. And I think we should take advantage of that. Don't you? I think we should ask for those prayers of encouragement from our brethren. For we are here for each other, or we should be. So certainly as we saw David and Jonathan being there for one another, I think it's a good example. It's a good example of how they comforted one another, even in trying and very, very difficult times, as they really would have been probably severely persecuted if they saw one another. David would have certainly been killed. Jonathan would have certainly been persecuted for it. But nonetheless, they did what they did in God's safety because God was with them. God was with David all the time. So David was obviously very upset. Jonathan was very upset. Saul was just constantly hunting. Extremely tough situation, and all of us have times in life that are like this. But 2 Samuel 18:33, continuing through our lesson here, 2 Samuel 18:33, if you'd read that with me. "Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Thus, O my son Absalom, my son, my son, Absalom, if only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" What this is talking about is another scenario, not specifically probably with the cave that this psalm is talking about, but certainly we can relate it. David is weeping over his son who just died, Absalom, who was trying to rebel against David, who was trying to take the throne of his father David. How trying would that be? You know, we just talked about Saul, we just talked about it with Jonathan and how he barely could even see his best friend Jonathan. What about his son now? Well, his son rebelled against him. His son stood up against him, and he wanted him dead. So, yeah, David went through persecutions. He may have been a king. He may have had more than maybe we have in life as far as being a king in his time. But nonetheless, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we'll have that happen in our life, Christians, whether it's verbally, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whatever it is. And we have to understand that in those times, God is with us. And that, even it is a joy to suffer for Christ's sake, as the apostles would say. So, the first section there that we read in that psalm was the cry for help. And continuing on, we're going to talk about assurance in these last few sections of this psalm. So, back to Psalm 142. Psalm 142 and verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. And the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Continuing on, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. So remember again, this is likely whenever David is in that cave, whenever he's weeping about, you know, this whole situation with Saul. He's in that cave, you know, he's got the 400 men with him, but of course he's probably alone at this time, you know, wondering what to do. He's just praying to God. He's asking God for wisdom, asking God for help. There are many other psalms that relate to this exact event. But assurance, don't worry. God knows what is going on in your life. God understands you. God understands everything about you. So, but of course, what did David do? He handed everything to God. As we just read in 1 Samuel 24, 12 through 15, or we read in verse 12 rather, but we can continue on and talking about David's speech there. 1 Samuel 24, 12 through 15. Continuing, starting in verse 12 once again, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Verse 13, as the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue, a dead dog, a flea? Therefore, verse 15, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. Of course, you can continue reading on there, and I encourage you to do it in your own time, seeing how Saul even shown, how he even was convicted in his heart that David didn't take the chance to kill him, whenever really he understood why he would have, you know, just went ahead and did it. But this assurance that David really has in trusting in God, and laying all of those burdens, all of those anxieties on God and doing it God's way. You know, we just think sometimes it's my way or the highway, or I need to do it this way. Absolutely, there's no other thing that I can do. Well, be open-minded. Be open-minded. Pray to God and ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for help. Psalm 139, 7 through 12, once again, is one of our best verses and sections of verses which talk about how God is everywhere. God knows everything. He made everything. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. And, of course, He would know where David was, and He was taking care of him in that cave. I imagine the cave was nasty. Maybe it wasn't, but I imagine David having to hide in the wilderness as he did, go from nation to nation, hiding from King Saul. If you'll go back through that book there, talking about all those things, it's really from 1 Samuel 18 all the way to the end of the book. So you can refer to that on your own time, but All that running, I don't imagine David would have been in, you know, luxury all of that time. He probably would have been in very dirty scenarios, probably very tough scenarios, physically speaking. So he had despair. Despair, continuing on in that verse 4 in our original psalm. Even among so many, he felt probably alone. And no doubt we feel that sometimes in this life. Even among so many here, I'm alone. Maybe in the church we feel like that. There's no brethren that will help us in a situation. Even among so many, I'm alone. Well, first of all, what's the reason for that? And second of all, brethren, we should always be able to lean on one another. We should always be able to lean on one another. And no sin cannot be repented of, except not repenting at all. And every single one of us have committed sin. Every single one of us are on the same road to get to heaven. We need to lean on each other. Come to each other for help and be able to do so. So be open. Be accepting of other people who might need that help, that assistance. Brethren, we need to be here for each other, just as Jonathan and David were just in that text. But continuing on here, let's go back to our psalm. We're going to finish this out now. Psalm 142, starting verse 5. Now we're going to talk about the confidence, of course, that you can have in God and that David had in God. Verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Imagine being hunted down and saying things like this. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. David is a king. David's basically able to be a king. He's got 400 men who are helping him. And he's humble enough to say, God, you're my only portion. You're my portion in the land of the living. So think about all that we have, all the portion that we have in this life, all the physical blessings and all of that. Well, have you ever just stopped and said, all of this that I have is because of God? I wouldn't have any of this without God. God, you are my portion in the land of the living. God, I praise you for giving me all these things. God, I praise you for giving me my family. Whatever it is. That's what David is doing here. He's giving all of those cries. He's giving all of even praise to the Lord, even in a cave when he's being hunted down to die. So, deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. He's still praying to God, asking for help. Bring my soul out of prison. You know, bring my heart out of prison. Bring me peace again. So, finishing out here, we can even be reminded of texts like Elijah in 1 Kings 19:10 and 14. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. We recall that Elijah was also in a cave, was also feeling alone. So, brethren, all these examples are to help us from the Old Testament. Whenever we have those same similar type of events and times, despair, always remember that God is with you. Always remember that He loves you, that He wants you to be happy in life. He wants you to have a blessed life, and He's going to take care of you, of course, as His child. Have that confidence in Him so that He will take care of you in these ways. For we know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, of course, I'll go ahead and run to James 5:15-16. Read these last couple verses and then we'll be finished. James 5:15-16. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Brethren, did you hear what that just said? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's exactly what David is practicing in his life. How much do we practice that? If you want something in life to go perfectly for you, pray to God. Don't lean upon your own resources. Pray to God. Have confidence in God through incredible hardship. So, lots of different lessons we can, of course, think about here. Matthew 10:29-31, I'll just go ahead and read these things. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And also, Matthew 6:32-34, last verse, last set of verses. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The psalmist here stresses three things in this psalm. Three things. God knows our lives, God cares about us, and God delivers the faithful from difficult and overwhelming circumstances. So lean on God. Trust in God in times in your life when it's tough. Don't go to a therapist first. Go to God first. Go to God first. And maybe, you know, if you can't think of any brethren to go to God first. Lean on God in everything. Yes, you should use your brethren, and we should be accepting for people who need help. But lean on God first is the point of this lesson this afternoon. Brethren, if you have any need this afternoon, please make it known. Please let us encourage you and help you, as we talked about in the lesson. If you need prayer for repentance, we as well want to help you with that. Please let us pray with you and get those sins out of your life even today. All of us in here are Christians, so just remember that plan of salvation as a last challenge. If you have any need this afternoon, please come to the front as we stand, as we praise God together.
Against alive. O sinner, harden not thy heart. Be saved, O tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is a time, oh, then be wise, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? And wilt thou thus his love requite? Renounce at once thy stubborn will. Be saved, O tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? The world has nothing left to give. It has no new, no pure delight. Oh, try the life which Christians live. Tonight.